This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 182. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
What's on the 13th floor? Outlaw flashbacks. Diana joins a JLA and the pull list lightning round. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, November 20th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, not particularly a big week for comics. There were a lot of comics, but not many that were all that memorable.
Yeah.
But we do have a few we want to talk about, starting with Batman number 3 by Snyder and Capullo. And we learn a little bit more about Bruce's ancestors. We learn about Alan Wayne, his great-great-grandfather, who was an architect, and apparently was very senile in his old age. And there's this whole scene from the 1920s, and these cops find Alan wandering the streets, and he's babbling about owls, and they don't know what the deal is.
So was he really senile?
Right. Because we're now learning a little more about the Court of Owls, a secret society in Gotham, apparently going back to colonial times. And they kind of gave hints about this back at Comic-Con, and now we're finally getting into it. And this is really the first new concept in the Bat universe for quite a while. I mean, most of what you hear are kind of rehashes of old concepts. You know, here's the same villain back again. Here's another version of Batgirl, that type of thing. But now this is something I don't think they've ever really gotten into, the idea of this Court of Owls. Now, and I'm wondering is, does this Court of Owls somehow tie into when we'll eventually see Earth 3 with the crime syndicate and Owl Man? So
I would assume that it doesn't, just because they're supposed to be starting over.
Well,
they shouldn't be making these kind of links to people to assume things.
Right. But if and when they finally get back to having a crime syndicate, they could explain that, oh, well, the Court of Owls is why he's Owlman in that universe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so we hear about Alan Wayne had a trust fund set up for new architects, for young architects. And so they end up building all the skyscrapers in Gotham with a 13th floor, which has always been a big thing with architects, where you don't build a 13th floor, or at least you don't use it.
Well, you just put and they touch on this in the book, you just put a smaller floor in there, a space that's inaccessible that you call the 13th floor.
Right. But in this case, we find out that all these skyscrapers in Gotham have that 13th floor, and that was the headquarters for the Court of Owls, with all these 13th floors. And Bruce finds them, and the last panel, there's a big explosion. Of course, Bruce will survive, but obviously the Court of Owls don't want him to find these things.
I didn't quite understand why the Fund for Architects guys, you know, the guys who got money from that, would be against Alan Wayne. If it's Alan Wayne's fund, why are they working against the Waynes?
Well, maybe Alan was in the Court of Owls, and that was... They were kind of instructed by the court to build these things. And the impression I'm getting is that Bruce is now trying to create this new Gotham, and now the Court of Owls is for the first time saying, okay, we don't like what you're doing.
Oh, so they were with the Waynes.
Right.
But then with Bruce, he was never introduced to the Court of Owls because his parents died.
That's the theory.
And so he's doing all this stuff, and the Court of Owls says, hey, wait a minute.
And what's interesting here is that apparently this Court of Owls was fine with what Batman's been doing all this time, or otherwise they would have interceded. But all of a sudden, now they've decided, okay, Bruce can't do these things.
Right. Now, how old is Bruce supposed to be at this point?
Well, the general rule of thumb is the main heroes in the DCU are 29.
Okay. And so how old would Dick be?
Second generation, he's probably 22, 23.
Wouldn't it be kind of weird for a guy that young to take a kid that old as a ward?
Well.
Wouldn't somebody have said something?
Not when you're a billionaire, apparently.
I don't know. It just, as I was reading this, because Bruce does look so young in these drawings.
Right, but that's all part of the new DCU.
Well, yeah.
Where they're all supposed to be a little younger.
Well, yes, but it did. But because of the fact that they didn't reboot the Robins.
Right. That's
is what makes it really, really, really weird.
And that's the kind of thing you get when you reboot some things and not others.
Yes.
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 3 by Lobdell and Roquefort. So we see some more mystical stuff in here. The title really has gone in a different direction than I expected it to. I expected them to be vigilantes and doing stuff that was questionable from a legal perspective. And instead they've gone off in this whole quest, as it were, to save this mystical group that Jason was involved with at one time. But we do see the team members' early years, Starfire as this child prisoner, Roy post-Speedy right after he was found to be a heroin addict. There's also a nice thing about Jason and Bruce in this kind of tender moment where Jason, this is when he was Robin, and he's sick, he has the flu.
Yeah.
And Bruce says, well, you should stay home. And then Bruce is going to go off on his own, but later turns out Bruce doesn't go out on his own, and they stay in and like watch a movie on the couch.
Right. Now, that was all seen as part of this. They had to give up some memories to this guy to go into this one situation.
Right, this one mystical thing.
And the other two got their memories back, but Jason didn't want that back.
I don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of telling.
It seems like the first issue of this title was more to shock people than anything else, because the second and third issue really aren't going in the same direction as the first issue. All the controversy about the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know if after the first one they pulled back, but I doubt it because...
It should have already been.
Exactly. It was all in the can by the time it came out.
Yeah.
Justice League number 3 by Johns and Lee. The total page count 22. Splash page count 5, double splash page count 2, which means 9 out of the 22 pages are splash pages. And that's good old Jim Lee for you.
And again, I think not a whole lot of story.
No, you're right. And it's because of those splash pages. So Wonder Woman takes center stage here. We learn more about her than in the Wonder Woman title so far in this one issue.
Well, you know, and that kind of strikes me in that, you know, we're learning more about, generally, about characters in books that aren't their own.
Yes.
In the whole DC thing,
yeah,
I think.
Agreed. So we learn that Steve Trevor has been assigned to her by the government. This is, again, 5 years ago when she first appeared. She has had very little real-world experience. She's thrilled by ice cream. And she always wants to fight because that's what she was trained to do. And then meanwhile, we learn a little bit more about Cyborg's origin. His father is not what he seems. There seems to be some tie to Darkseid somehow, but not very clear what's going on there. The rest of the team continue this fight against the various parademons or whatever you're going to call them now. And we still have some great Geoff Johns dialogue here. There's one point Flash says, Batman doesn't have powers? I thought you were a vampire or something.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman gets into the fight, and the first reactions are
from the
Green Lantern and Flash, and one says, oh, wow, and the other says, dibs. And then a interplay between Superman and Wonder Woman. Superman says, you're strong. She says, I know. And in the last panel, we see Aquaman. So they're introducing new characters, like one an issue here. Aquaman saying, so who's in charge here? I vote me. And we also get a hint about the history of Atlantis in the backup text. And that's another reason why you're not getting much actual story, is because they have this backup stuff.
And the backup thing,
doesn't
it's
really,
just a space filler.
Yeah, it is. It very much is.
You know, a library book. You get the cover of the library book, the checkout card. It looks cool.
Yes.
But it doesn't do anything for you.
No. And this clearly is just, well, we have a $3.99 title and we have to up the number of pages. Why don't you just switch it to $2.99 and get rid of those backup stuff? Because now what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to start filling that up, because they're going to eventually run out of, here's some sketches of this character and sketches of this character, blah, blah, blah. I would like to see the title move forward faster. I feel like this first story arc is going to take like 3 years at the rate they're going. All right, since there hasn't been a lot out this week that was all that good.
All that talk-worthy.
All that talk-worthy. And we're now getting near the end of the third month of the new DC 52. I decided it was a good time to take a look at the pull list in the pull list lightning round. So for those who don't collect comics, the idea is pull list is something you set up with your dealer and say, these are the titles I'm going to come in and pick up every week or every month. And you get a discount for it generally because the dealer knows you're going to be coming in every week. So I've got a list of still the majority of the new 52 out there. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to just name a title, and Mindy is just going to split second decision, keep or drop.
I don't have the final say, though.
No, this is a recommendation.
Because if I had the final say, we'd be dropping quite a few.
Well, but this will inform my decision as to what we're doing. Okay, so let's start with Action.
No.
Animal Man.
Oh, yes.
Aquaman.
Yes.
Batgirl.
Eh.
Keep or drop?
Keep for now.
Batman.
Drop.
Batman Brave and the Bold.
Okay, keep.
Batman Dark Knight.
Drop.
Batman and Robin.
Drop.
Batwoman.
Drop.
Birds of Prey.
Keep.
Blue Beetle.
Keep.
Catwoman.
I would keep it, reserving judgment at this point.
Okay. DC Universe Presents.
And that's the one that's doing Deadman right now? I would keep that.
Demon Knights.
Keep.
Detective.
Drop.
Flash.
Keep.
Green Lantern.
Need
a Final Answer.
Keep.
Green Lantern New Guardians.
Drop.
Green Lantern Corps.
Drop.
Justice League.
Drop.
Justice League Dark.
Keep.
Justice League International.
Keep.
Legions of Superheroes.
Drop.
Mr. Terrific.
Keep.
Nightwing.
Drop.
Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Drop.
Resurrection Man.
Keep.
Stormwatch.
I thought we already dropped that one.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Suicide Squad.
Drop.
Superboy.
Oh, I might keep that for a while.
Supergirl.
Keep.
Superman.
Keep. For now.
Swamp Thing.
Keep.
Teen Titans.
Keep.
Wonder Woman.
And I'd keep that one for now.
Okay.
What about that Legion Lost title?
We already dropped that.
Oh, we did?
Yep.
Okay.
Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? I'm all ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
TV related?
It didn't start. Okay. No.
Movie related?
Yes.
One movie on the cover?
Yes.
One person on the cover?
No.
Two?
No.
Three?
Yes.
Three people. Are they human beings?
Yes. Well, yes.
Well, yes?
Yes, the people are human beings.
People are human beings. Do they not play human beings in this movie?
Well, not really.
Is it an animated movie?
No.
So it's live action.
I guess it depends on how you define human beings.
How you define human beings. Do they...
I'm just confusing you.
Yes, you are.
Yes, they're humans.
Do they... Okay, so is the movie genre related?
Yes.
Is it science fiction?
No.
Is it horror?
Sort of.
Is it vampire related?
Yes.
So it's those Twilight-y, Twinkie things.
So it's what movie?
It's Twilight Too Many Movies?
Yes. I'm surprised you didn't guess that right away. It's Breaking Dawn, part one. The worst movie made this year. What was it that one reviewer said?
The time actually went backwards.
Yeah.
While watching it. That's how slow it was?
Oh.
Mm.
I'm not going to be seeing the Twilight movies.
Okay. All right, so just to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-3219-SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.